Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. A National Transportation Safety Board investigator is expected today in Talkeetna, where the National Park Service is coordinating response to last weekend's deadly crash of a flight-seeing plane in Denali National Park. Wreckage of a K2 Aviation de Havilland Beaver containing four dead is at about 10,000 feet near the top of a ridge about 14 miles southwest of Denali Summit. A park release says the downed aircraft is spanning a crevasse on a hanging glacier on Thunder Mountain. The NTSB investigator will meet with National Park Service staff to discuss possible recovery operations. A park ranger was lowered to the wreckage from a helicopter Monday. Four dead were observed. A fifth person was not seen but is presumed dead. The pilot has been identified as Craig Lason of Michigan. The Park Service says the passengers are citizens of Poland and that the Polish consulate has requested their names not be released. A person was found dead in an RV that burned in Fairbanks last night. A release from the City of Fairbanks Fire Department says a 911 call came in at about 8 p.m. reporting a fire off the old Richardson Highway. It says firefighters responded and found an older model motorhome burning in a wooded area near a Teamsters Union building. The vehicle was fully engulfed in flames, which also spread to nearby trees. The fire was extinguished and a body was found. The victim has not been positively identified, and the state fire marshal is investigating. Heavy rains that fell across the interior Sunday and Monday are pushing up river levels. National Weather Service meteorologist Scott Berg says area rain totals varied widely by location, but all the water is moving into drainages.
Anywhere from 1 to even 4 or 5 inches of rain, and that is causing some of the rivers to start rising here, especially the main stem rivers, the Tanana, the Chena, are starting to rise. And we're seeing a rise in the Fairbanks area on the Tanana that's getting up near flood stage.
Berg says the Weather Service has issued a flood advisory for the mouth of the Chena River, where it dumps into the Tanana near the Rosie Creek neighborhood of West Fairbanks.
As the waters come up, it has a tendency to get into some of those low-lying areas and cause some problems.
Rising water on the Chena is not expected to be enough to trigger dam operation at the Chena River Lakes Flood Control Project in North Pole. Army Corps of Engineers Project Manager Tim Favel says levels are projected to remain below a threshold.
It's going to continue to rise all the way up through maybe into Thursday morning. That's what they're projecting, but it won't get much over, say, the 4,000 cubic feet per second. And of course, we don't regulate till upwards of 8,000 CFS.
Favel credits an extended dry period prior to this week's rains.
Some of these little wetlands and drainages and sloughs have dropped over the season, so it absorbs it a lot faster. And what we really have to watch for now with this, maybe it's charged the system, charged the water table, and now if we end up with a similar heavy rains later this season, it could be a different story.
Flood advisories are also in effect along the Richardson Highway between Delta Junction and Fielding Lake and along the Denali Highway. The Interior Gas Utilities Board has reluctantly accepted the resignation of member Frank Abeg. Abeg is stepping down due to concern about the IGU's purchase of Pentex Alaska, a deal pushed and financed by the state's Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority, or ADA, as part of the Interior Energy Project. Meeting yesterday, the IGU board heard public concerns and a response from ADA. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
Fairbanks attorney Mike Wallery told the IGU board he's troubled by the issues Abeg raised in his resignation letter, especially his concerns over the utility's financial well-being.
This kind of stuff that came out, I was shocked to see this.
Wallery says he realizes the IGU, like startup companies, must incur debt to gain assets to operate. But he says the debt the utility racked up in buying Pentex Alaska Natural Gas Company from the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority, or ADA, is excessive. Abeg wrote the state agency effectively charged the IGU $75 million for the company, which ADA bought in 2015 for $56 million.
It bothers me. Bothers me a lot.
Gene Terrio heads up Ada's Interior Energy Project, which led to formation of the IGU. Terrio denied ABEG's allegations. He said after the meeting that officials with the Fairbanks North Star Borough and its two incorporated cities approved Ada's plan to buy Pentex and then sell it to the IGU.
Ada would not have purchased Pentex if it did not have the support, which we received in three resolutions that were debated by the local governments.
Terrio says the cost of the purchase shouldn't have been a surprise to the IGU board because Ada outlined its plan for local officials before it bought Pentex. And he says Ada charged the IGU a fair price for the company based on its analyses and consultants' reviews.
Certainly it's anybody's right to continue to question that. Many people have an opinion. We had an expert opinion.
Another member of the public, Carl Huff, told board members they should consider a proposal by Siemens to develop another source of natural gas instead of relying solely on Pentex's Titan LNG plant near Point McKenzie. Siemens is offered to finance and build an LNG plant near Wasilla in exchange for long-term gas sales contracts.
The Siemens proposal was just a lot easier to grasp. And maybe they're better at it. Maybe they're more polished.
But former IGU General Manager Jomo Stewart, speaking as a member of the public, told board members that although Siemens staged a slick presentation, it didn't provide detailed information on how the company's proposal compares with the Pentex plan.
I mean, really all it was a big old PR opportunity for a proposer, an unsolicited proposer, to make a direct pitch to the board and a direct pitch to the public in the absence of actually giving substantive information for which this board could actually make a determination.
Board members Jack Wilbur and Steve Hagenson both agreed and said that's why they canceled a second presentation by Siemens. Hagenson says he wants details that'll enable IGU officials to make an apples-to-apples comparison. Terrio says that's why Ada also has concerns about Siemens' proposal.
I think you heard tonight at the IGU table that there's a high level of frustration that Siemens has produced PowerPoints but not actually produced a proposal.
Board Chairwoman Pam Troop said after the meeting that she shares ABEG's concerns about the purchase price of Pentex and other issues. She says she intended to vote against the deal when it came before the board in December, but she says an expert convinced her that local control over the facility outweighed concerns over Ada's high selling price.
I do believe that we as a community are better off owning IGU than having it owned and run by people who don't live in this community, like Ada.
Troop says on August 21st, the board will get what she says will be a thorough, substantive presentation by Siemens on the proposal. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
And I'm Dan Bross.